Leaders.
Currency liberalisation. Getting there. Ethiopia and Nigeria have made progress on reforms, but the job is only half done.
For years, Nigeria and Ethiopia, sub-Saharan Africa's second and third biggest economies, defied the market orthodoxy embraced elsewhere on the continent. But reform is in the air. Barely a year into his term, Bola Tinubu, Nigeria's president, has twice let the naira depreciate. At the end of July, meanwhile, Ethiopia floated the birr and received an IMF programme as a reward. In both countries, reform-minded technocrats are now at the helm of the central bank. Africa's most important holdouts on reform are shaking things up at last. That is good news. But the job is only half done. Unless it is matched by changes at home, currency reform will do little to put the two economies on a more sustainable footing. Both countries were spurred to action by a balance of payments crisis and a shortage of dollars. When Ethiopia let the birr float, it was down to its last $1.5 billion in foreign reserves, just 2 weeks' worth of imports. Devaluation is meant to tilt the trade balance by boosting exports, while discouraging consumers from buying too many imports. As a consequence, it inflicts pain on ordinary voters. Annual inflation in Nigeria has risen to nearly 35%, and protests earlier this month brought thousands out on the streets of Abuja and Lagos, its political and commercial capitals. But the idea is that over time, as exporters benefit, productivity and real wages will rise. Yet Ethiopia and Nigeria face two barriers to realising these gains. One is that politically important state-owned enterprises have gobbled up scarce capital and resources, preventing private exporters from being able to take advantage of the cheaper currency. Manufacturing is a mere 4% of GDP in Ethiopia, and investment in commercial agriculture lags behind the average African country. Manufacturing productivity in Nigeria, meanwhile, has fallen since 2000. Starved of capital, ambitious farmers, manufacturers and entrepreneurs cannot easily respond to increases in foreign demand. The second barrier is wasteful public spending. In Ethiopia, the Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed is rolling out generous new subsidies for fuel, extending a fiscal deficit that is already wide. That shelters households from the brunt of austerity, but it discourages them from giving up expensive imports while worsening strained public finances. In both countries, the demand for imports is being further boosted by ambitious government projects. Much of this takes the form of buildings and infrastructure, which rely on foreign materials. For his part, Mr. Tinubu has refused to abandon work on any of the cities and airports of Muhammadu Buhari, his predecessor. In Ethiopia, spending has also been diverted to the horrific war in Tigray. Such profligacy will worsen both countries' fiscal problems. Without further reform, the only remaining alternative may be to inflate away their debt. Soon after Mr. Tinubu entered office, he shut down a loophole at the central bank that allowed it to create cash to lend to the government. Now the facility is active again. Although Abiy and Mr. Tinubu have made promising noises about becoming less interventionist, so far they have done little. Taking on entrenched interests is hard. But until they do, both countries will continue to struggle with unsustainable trade deficits, making more painful adjustments unavoidable. The danger is that Nigeria and Ethiopia become like Egypt and Pakistan, cycling in and out of IMF programs. Time is running out for the two leaders to start the wider reforms they have both promised.